'Tis the season of weddings and graduations, a time when we traditionally come together to celebrate grand accomplishments and the opportunity for new beginnings. So I have only one request for all of you well-intentioned parents, grandparents, friends, and acquaintances. When you come face-to-face with the newlyweds and recent grads, offer them a pat on the back and congratulations. Offer them wisdom and unsolicited advice. Offer them well wishes and an envelope with cash. But please, oh please, don't simply wish for them happiness. There's got to be something better and more substantial we can wish for someone than an often unattainable and mostly unsustainable state of happiness. For issues and ideas, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, the reluctant therapist. And I know it sounds great to wish someone happiness. It just rolls so easily off the tongue, and it seems to encompass all the things we could ever want for ourselves and anyone else, without imposing on them any of the potential for disappointment and disaster attached to a specific wish, such as wishing for someone a high-paying job. Wishing someone happiness comes without any expectations for action, or really any actual accomplishment. It implies an open-ended invitation to do whatever you want, or do nothing at all, as long as it makes you happy. That sounds easy enough. Who wouldn't want to just feel good all the time? And it sounds a heck of a lot easier than struggling and sacrificing toward a specific goal that might ultimately lead to failure. But how and where do we find this happiness? And how do we go about capturing a feeling that is often elusive and fleeting? And if we fail to achieve eternal bliss, is our life then just a failure? Happiness itself is really not a tangible goal. Happiness is an attitude, a state of mind, an emotion. And like its companion emotions, sadness, anger, and fear, happiness is transient. Emotions flow through us daily, weekly, monthly, and moment to moment. So to wish for someone only happiness is to relegate them to a life of chasing rainbows. Visible to the naked eye, but always out of reach. And once you think you've found it, it disappears into the ethers, leaving you once again to search. So instead of wishing them happiness, wish for your loved ones curiosity, or discipline, or a desire to excel. Something that will actually sustain them through good times and in bad, and give them the motivation and desire to seek for a deeper meaning to life. Now, this is not to say that we shouldn't embrace happiness when we feel it or aspire to be happy people, but that is much different than declaring that our goal in life is just to be happy. This idea of happiness as a life goal is a relatively new concept in our culture, driven in part by our postmodern parenting culture, which avoids anything that might cause our children to feel sad, disappointed, frustrated, or hurt. Postmodern parents don't want their children to feel any stress or pressure and are reticent to placing any expectations or demands on their prodigy for fear of looking like overzealous parents. Yes, we have a few tiger moms with strong, clear expectations, but for the most part, postmodern parents do everything possible to protect their children from all perceived negativity. I just want them to be happy is the most acceptable response to the question, what do you want for your children when they grow up? Rather than answering with something that implies expectations or has the potential for failure, such as, I'd like them to be successful, or a doctor, or highly educated. Unfortunately, in our efforts to allow children the freedom to be whoever they want, to eliminate all stress and potential heartache, we inadvertently throw them to the wind, lacking direction and goals and grasping for a plan or some way to measure or discover their own potential. It's actually very stressful for children and graduates to be told that their options are limitless and they can do anything in life with only one clear instruction, and that is to be happy. Ironically, people are happier when they have some sort of concrete vision or clear direction for their life that will lead them towards success or failure. And as awful as it sounds, failure can often be the best thing that can happen in our lives. Failure opens doors to new opportunities. It builds resilience and character. Failure forces us to reevaluate our options and to discover our hidden potential. Without the opportunity to successfully overcome failure, it's easy to develop a resistance to taking any chances at all for fear that we might fail or experience unhappiness. And ultimately, it's the journey towards the goal that allows us to learn about life, to challenge ourselves, experience and survive defeat, and ultimately understand and appreciate happiness from a deeply personal place. Telling our children that all we want for them is happiness is a parenting cop-out. Parents are supposed to be mentors, guides, and truth-tellers. We are to help our children discover their hidden talents and face the areas where they may not excel. Having expectations for achievement gives our children a point of reference, a reason to strive, to try, to succeed or fail, or even rebel. And how do you rebel against happiness? Maybe they won't become doctors or social activists or the next president, but without some sort of compass to follow, we leave our children without any guidance and at greater risk for long-term unhappiness. And it's not only the fault of parenting. Selling happiness is also at the heart of the advertising industry. Since the turn of the century, with the advent of advertising, the idea of happiness has changed from something that was largely spiritual in nature to something that was largely material or able to be purchased on the open market. By the middle of the 20th century, our sense of being happy was the baseline of the American dream. Advertisements blasted us with daily reminders that it was our right to be happy. And there are thousands of products out there available to help ensure that we reach that most desired state of personal bliss. The joke on us is that the advertising industry never intended for us to be happy. That would defeat their purpose. Happy people don't need to buy anything. But people searching for happiness, longing for happiness, assuming that happiness is just around the corner, only one more purchase away, keeping happiness visible but just out of reach like a rainbow, keeps the consumer engines running, keeps corporations in business. The more unhappy the population, the more stuff they'll buy in hopes of finding their rainbow. We've been set up, and we've bought in completely. Through the magic of advertising and the 3,000 messages we receive daily asking us if we're happy, if our skin is happy, if we're pretty enough, thin enough, smart enough, or wealthy enough to be happy, through the constant barrage of reminders that all we need is to be happy, we are caught in a perpetual cycle of never really feeling happy. And that is where the pharmaceuticals jump in. Because if you aren't feeling as happy as you perceive the rest of the world to be, Big Pharma is just right around the corner with a magic pill that promises to deliver to you happiness with just the right chemical concoction. But we never seem to quite make it to nirvana. Or if we do, it's only fleeting, because within a day or two, you see something else. Some other shiny object that promises to make us happier. Just when you thought nothing could make you happier than the iPhone 3, the iPhone 4 appears, and suddenly you are left out of the in crowd and overcome with sadness. This idea that our primary goal in life is the pursuit of happiness is such a part of the American story, it's written in our Declaration of Independence. But the happiness our forefathers wrote of was not about the pursuit of material goods on the promise that it would bring us happiness, or that happiness would just happen because we wished for it. Our original pursuit of happiness was based on a spiritual ideal. Happiness derived from religious freedom and the chance to create a life of our choosing. Happiness was not an entitlement, but a possibility, requiring great personal effort, sacrifice, and faith. So instead of wishing for your children, graduates, and newlyweds some vague, undefined state, wish for them four specific things they can work toward that will actually bring to their lives a sustained sense of well-being and satisfaction, which will include great feelings of pride in their accomplishments and hard-earned happiness. These four keys for a happy life are meaningful work, deep committed relationships, service to others, and good health. Wish these things for those you love, along with the determination, focus, resilience, and ability to enjoy the ride. These wishes and your belief in their potential will be the greatest gifts of all. I'm Elizabeth Barrett for Issues and Ideas, and I invite you to join in on the conversation as we go live with The Reluctant Therapist on Wednesday, June 20th from 4 to 5 p.m. I look forward to taking your calls on the air as we talk about the nature of therapy and whether or not our helping professions are actually improving our collective mental health or getting us into more trouble. There's a reason I'm the reluctant therapist, and I look forward to talking about it with you, right here on Public Radio, KCBS.